Welcome to Shift with CJ. I'm your host CJ, and together we will explore the areas of health, human performance, biohacking, psychology, and much more that will inspire you to become the best version of yourself. So last week's episode got a lot of love from you guys. Thank you. And you have been messaging and saying that you like this kind of episodes. You like the lessons that I'm sharing, just not for information, but maybe for some inspiration as well. So here we are again. This is another week of things, situations, and information that I have been reflecting on, experimenting with, and learning in real life. This podcast is going to tell you all the things that has happened to me last week and some of the more refined ones so I can add some value in your life. Now, here are five lessons that I want to share with you from last week. Lesson number one. Now I even have titles for these lessons. So lesson number one is that you're entitled to an opinion if you know both sides of the story. How did I get to this? So something happened last week, which has been happening for quite a few years. So a lot of the times people ask me, whether it's friends or podcast listeners or even at events, they all kind of bring the same topic all over me most of the times, which is, CJ, that there's so much information out there. Everyone's saying the opposite thing. One guy says carbs are poison. The other one says carbs are fuel. Some people will say cold plunge are life-changing. Some people say they're useless and they're a waste of money, and whoever is selling them is, you know, it's like snake oil salesman. And what do people believe? And I get it. We live in this world of extreme opinions. If you see social media and if you go outside, people are yelling. Even the experts in the field are always arguing. And most of people think that their way is the way of the truth. But, you know, sometimes when I go to meetings and networking events, rather than giving my opinion, I'm just quiet and I'm listening. I'm listening to all the opinions that are there. I'm listening to all the sides of the story, how people are so one-sided, so focused, so bold, so certain. But this week, I heard a quote that really resonated with me. It is from Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett's right-hand man. And before you pass away, he says, "You're not entitled to an opinion unless you can argue the other side better than the person holding it." And this was a light bulb moment for me. This is one of those aha moments for me. And that's one of the biggest lessons I learned this week. That most people don't really have opinions. They are run by algorithms. They have just been shown the same side of the argument probably 100 times on their Facebook, on their Instagram, on their social media feed. And now they think that is truth and that is reality. But this is a big problem because, as you know, social media doesn't show you the full picture. It only shows you your side. Only louder, stronger, and more repetitive until you think that is the only way. That's a confirmation bubble. And the more you stay inside it, you will not be able to understand what is reality. You will not be able to break out of it. You're not even learning. You're just on a constant loop. So I try my best now to go to places, not to argue, not to agree, not to disagree, but just to observe. Because what I've found is that the loudest people in the room often have the most narrow views. And they oftentimes confuse confidence with comprehension. But the people that I really respect are the people who can explain both sides of the argument, not using fancy terminologies, not using concepts that no one understands, but with clarity, with respect. That's real wisdom and that's real intelligence. And remember I told you about the confirmation bubble? Actually, there's something called as the confirmation bias. That means we often seek out and only remember information what we somehow in our life tend to believe in. And if you are using social media a lot, this is only going to be supercharging this effect. Imagine you watching a few videos on carnivore. Now you get like hundreds of videos on carnivore. You follow one productivity coach, and now your news feed or your social media feed is going to be completely full of hustle culture. If you like one post of like cold plunge, now you'll see people all over the world cold plunging. This is the illusion, and this illusion makes your beliefs even stronger. You start saying, I have so much proof, but all your proof is only coming from one side. And this is why people get angry in debates, not because they're right, but because their identity is often being challenged. And honestly, now before believing anything or, you know, taking a side, I ask myself a few things. First thing is to understand it completely, because when you believe something strongly, you need to understand not only your side, but the opposite side as well. Not to attack it, just simply to understand it. And I ask myself, what would this sound like if the opposite thing was true? This has really helped me look at different narratives and understand all sides of the stories. One of the other things is, if you can, this is probably a little bit more harder, but if you can surround yourself with thinkers who disagree with each other but still respect each other, you're going to often find yourself learning a lot. And again, you don't need to hold strong opinions on anything or on everything. Sometimes the highest level of understanding is just saying, hey, this universe, this life, everything that's happening is way too complex and we're all still learning. When I look at spirituality, my spiritual mentor, Krishna, even in the Bhagavad Gita, for those of you who know the story, there's a war going on and Krishna is the advisor to Arjuna, and he doesn't only tell him to fight, he explains what happens if he does and he explains what happens if he doesn't. Only after showing both paths, he also 5,000 years ago says, now you choose. True wisdom is never one-sided, and it holds space for understanding before taking any judgment. So you will now often see me quiet in rooms, not arguing, not shouting, not saying my way is the right or I know more, because reality is much more complex. And I would advise you to, and again, this is just a suggestion, don't be the loudest person in the room. Just try to keep yourself more grounded. Before you believe something, think about the opposing view. Challenge it a little bit. Before you speak on something, make sure you know the other sides. Because in the world full of extreme takes, people who understand both sides will be the people that most people will trust. So Warren Buffett's quote really shook me up. My second lesson for this week is, your network doesn't mean you're contactless. So let me explain. Earlier this week, I was going through my contacts and I was trying to set something up. It was like a podcast collaboration. And sometimes, you know, there are so many things, right? In the kind of work we do, there's podcasting, there are campaigns, there are brand partnerships. And I was looking through my WhatsApp and I had this aha moment. I was like, wow, I have so many names in here. But then I paused. I was like, but honestly, if I message 1/4 of them or 3/4 of them or half of them, would they truly care? Would they smile when they see my name? Or would it just be a part of another notification? And that's the lesson for today that I want to share with you. Your true network isn't the number of contacts you have. It's the number of people who get happy when they hear from you. That is your real equity. That is your real reach. Because you are on someone's contact list or they're on your contact list doesn't mean they appreciate you or they like you. there is this famous principle in persuasion science, which is called the liking bias, which simply means we are more likely to trust, we are more likely to buy from, we're more likely to collaborate, and we are more likely to refer people to which we truly like. Not to the people who are smartest, not to the people who are the most good looking, not to the people who are talented, not to the people who are just, you know, a role model. The people who actually make us feel good. So another mini lesson that I learned from here is that, especially that I want to apply in my business and other businesses that I'm associated with, is that we don't do business with the best. We do business with the people we like the best. And these kind of things have been studied in psychology, it's been studied in persuasion science, even in negotiations. When two parties find likability early on, the outcomes improve dramatically. Deals close faster and everyone's a winner. Okay? So for a lot of people who are trying to, you know, have a social media network list, again, you can have 100,000 followers, you can have so many DMs, you can have maybe your contact list is, or your email list is exploding. But if you call someone and they pause before picking up, that's not real connection. And you know when it is real, when you're calling someone and that someone picks up on the first ring, or sometimes your friend texts you back saying like, hey, bro, what's up? Let me call you in 5 seconds. Or someone who says, you know, hey, I remember that thing that you said a month ago. Or someone who actually, this is like the ultimate test. Someone who talks about you in a positive way in a room which doesn't have you. That is your real network. Not the list, but actually the love. And it's, I saw this very early on in my career, because when I was building Biohacking, it was quite the... in the Middle East, a lot of people did not understand it. It was a brand, but I wanted to start a movement. We built UAE Biohackers Community. It wasn't built on like cold emails or other funnels. It was built on real relationships, like real ones. I spent time with people who were in our, you know, discussions, who I met in different events, probably even some people that I met in the gym, and we worked out and we, you know, sat in a sauna and we sat in a cold plunge. People who liked me before I even told them about the concept or ever sold them something. And they backed me when I had something to bring to the table. This is why I say this. Your likability is an asset. Your relationships are like a vault, and they, like anything real in life, will compound over time, but only if they're real. So I want you to make authentic, real relationships. Don't pitch to people. Don't be a brand in front of someone. Just be a real human being and show up with values, true values, not agendas. Ask people how they are. Share something helpful that can help them. Drive some value into their lives. And don't do it once in 6 months. Be consistent. You know, relationships oftentimes fail, but if you keep sparking them again and again, then they have the juice to continue. And be the person they smile about. By the easiest hack is, most of the people feel ignored in this world because everything is so busy. You know, we don't have time, all of that stuff. Even your parents sometimes will. All you got to do is to make people feel seen. That's it. And don't try this with like everyone. You want to have a few people only. Don't try to be liked by everyone, because that's going to fail. That's going to fail deep. That's what a lot of people do. And they fail quite a lot. If you want to know what Krishna had to say about this, he said, perform every action with your heart in it, not for the gain that will come in the future, but from love, because people can feel your energy, your vibration. You know, when you walk in the room and there's someone angry and, you know, the whole room is happy, one person's angry, you can feel their vibe. That's why the vibe term is there. And there's a lot of scientific research that you can feel their energy too. So make sure you don't be that person. And always remember, people will remember. They might not remember your name, but they will remember how you made them feel. Not what you said, not what you did, not what you sold. How you made them feel. That's why have a presence which is full of kindness and warmth. And that could be really helpful. So if you want to join me in this new world, powerful networking, let me know. Let's stop counting our contact lists. Let's start making real connections. Because again, when opportunity really comes, the door won't open because of your resume. They'll open because someone smiled when they saw your name. That's lesson number two. Let's move on to lesson number three. This is one of the best gems that I found this week. Have you guys heard about Naval Ravikant? So the lesson number three is play the game to get free of the game. Now, lately, I've been binge watching Naval Ravikant's videos, his podcasts, his quotes, like most people would do Netflix. But it's crazy because this guy is such a genius. And there are so many things that I learned, and I cannot share everything with you because then the whole podcast will be like a Naval Ravikant podcast. And I think he can explain this better than me. So I would just ask all of you to go Google who Naval Ravikant is and like follow him. But something that really stuck with me is he mentioned this quote. I think it was on Joe Rogan's podcast. And he says, the whole point of playing the game is to eventually get free of the game. Let me repeat that to you one more time. The whole point of playing the game is to eventually be free of the game. And when I was like, when I heard this, I was like, whoa. I was listening to this while I was in the hyperbaric chamber, and you know, hyperbaric chamber doesn't have a lot of space. I was listening to this, I was watching this video on YouTube, and I was like, I need to write this down. Why? Because that is the time I realize we're all in a game. We are all, no matter what you say or do, you are in some kind of a game. You are trying to play the game so you can win, but you want to win. So most of us want to win. But have we ever asked ourselves, what happens if we win? Now, let me explain to you. There are multiple versions of this game. Building your business is a game. Making money is a game. Growing your audience is a game. Posting every day is a game. Learning more, doing more, becoming more. It's a game. It's all beautiful. I play all those games. I love it. But here is the twist. Most people start playing to escape some sort of a suffering. And then they become addicted to the game itself. And that's why we forget why we started. We build businesses that eventually traps us. We chase money until it replaces our freedom. And then we just have unrealistic expectations of ourselves. I'll tell you my own story. Because right now, like I said, I am deep in this game. I'm building biohacking. I'm doing podcasts. I'm making deals. We're creating products. But sometimes I try to catch myself like, why am I doing this? Am I doing this to actually build freedom? Or am I creating a trap for myself? Am I creating bondage or true liberation? And that's where Naval's quote is so powerful, because according to him, the goal is not to hustle forever. It's to build something so well, when that eventually happens, you don't have to struggle at all. And that's what he calls true leverage, real wealth, which is timeless and can get you peace, clarity, not just the money. Because eventually what happens to most of us is something called as hedonic treadmill. That means we adapt so fast to new levels of success that we keep needing more. Simple example is like coffee. You drink 2 cups of coffee a day, then the coffee doesn't work. You have to drink more. You make more money and then you upgrade your lifestyle and now you're buying more expensive things. So you don't save a lot and then you want more. You gain followers and you have a good social media account and then next month it doesn't grow. So you feel like empty again. You get fit, you were obese and then you get fit, but now you want those 8-packs and you want those veins and those definitions and those biceps like a fitness model. It never ends unless you realize that you're on the treadmill and you step off the treadmill. But to step off it, you need to first run on it well. You have to play the game with intensity, but you never forget that freedom is the final goal. You know, we have to act in this world. We have to play our role that we have been assigned or we have chosen. But ideally, we shouldn't be attached to the rewards. In other words, play the game, but don't be owned by it. The game is the fire that actually purifies you, but freedom is the ash, the essence, the thing that always remains. Some smart guy 5,000 years ago said this. I think you guys can guess who. And I've learned a lot from this. I am now on a completely game-driven mode. I'm building my business, Biohacking, with complete intensity. And I'm also designing it with systems, people, structure. So one day it just runs without me. Same with this podcast. I want to share. I want to teach. I want to build. But I'm not chasing numbers. I'm actually doing it for myself. I'm actually chasing clarity. And my version of winning this game is being able to wake up to do only what I love and never feel that I've been owned by any ridiculous calendar. So, highly suggest you listen to Naval Ravikant and his podcast and his content because this man is amazing. Next lesson. Actually, this lesson has been with me for most of my life, but I will share it with you guys because something triggered it last week. So let me tell you the story of how I started Biohacking. Before I started Biohacking, I remember I met with a few friends for coffee. These guys were so smart, way too ahead of me, way too business savvy. They were very analytical, supportive because I was their friend. And I wanted to tell them like I wanted to start this business. And they started asking me like, okay, have you done the research of what is the market cap of biohacking in the Middle East? Do you have the TAM? Do you have the SAM? Do you have the SOM? All of these technical breakdowns, what is your 3-year customer acquisition strategy? What is the latest data on PubMed? And I was looking at them and I was like, guys, first of all, I don't know what all those things are and I don't have answers to those, but I love biohacking. I love health. I love wellness. I love longevity. So I want to build something that I really, really love. Something that if I had the chance to, I would do like 5 years ago. And I remember those guys said, you might not succeed. And that moment just stuck with me. I mean, of course, I ignored their advice because I didn't want to wait for the next 5 years to start with all of this data. And I was just by myself and there was no AI. And, you know, we bootstrapped this entire business. When I say we, it's me and the universe. But if I had waited till I had all the research paper, every chart, this, you know, what is it in for the investors? I don't think biohacking would have existed. And that's where I want to teach you the lesson for today, which is the 40-70 rule, which comes actually this week. I learned that it comes from General Colin Powell. So the rule says, if you have 40% of the information, you should probably have enough to act. And if you wait for 70% or more, you are already too late. Now, think about this in your life. We often think we need to, I was this all the time. If back in the days when I was young and I was broke and I would go through the supermarket aisles, like it would take hours because I needed to make sure that I was getting the best thing for the best price. And of course, like, you know, when you don't have money, you want to get the best. I did not want to sacrifice the best, so it took me way too long. So a lot of the times, it would take me so much long to make decisions. But I want you guys to think about something in your life. How many times people have told you that you have to be 100% sure before you take the next step? that is just a lie. That is what other people will tell you when they're not able to confidently make decision and they don't have enough agency. The most dangerous thing or the most dangerous place to live on the planet is between knowing and doing, that middle ground. Because when you have 40% information, you have good momentum. When you have 70%, you hesitate. When you have 100% information, you would never do it. The faster you move, the faster you actually get more reps in. Like Alex Hormozi says, get more reps in, get more feedback, which is worth more than any time that you waste. Okay? But it's not just the speed. It's actually feedback. It's actually the feedback loop. Because once you start doing something and you analyze it and you measure it, you can manage it even better. So for me, we track what ads we're running. How do I feel? I do so many protocols, so many supplements, so much self-experimentation. I always keep a track of how I'm feeling after a certain protocol, what kind of content we have to do, so you get it. We need feedback loops, but we don't need to wait for so long. If you have 40% and, you know, you can sort of like take a decision and take an action fast, I would say don't wait for long. Because the two big mental traps that people fall into is analysis by paralysis. You can wait forever to act. We also have this in our business. When we tell our clients about more and more solutions, whether it's from red light therapy or the sauna, eventually they wait for way too long and then they just get so confused they don't want to get it. But if you just tell them enough information that they need, they're going to make that decision faster. So we lost actually a lot of money doing this. And then there's the other kind of trap, which is called perfection paralysis, which is something that I had, which is fearing the outcome is not going to be anything short of flawless or perfect. But if you look at it, both of them are deeply rooted in the fear of being wrong. But you know what's even better than that? Actually being wrong fast. Because when you're wrong fast, you learn fast. And when you learn fast, you win over a long horizon of time. So even in our brain, so we have this thing called the prefrontal cortex, right? And it is basically it's a brain system which is wired for prediction and not for certainty, which simply means that your brain doesn't need all the answers. It just needs enough signal to give it a try. That is 40%. The rest, it comes from your action. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, perform your duties and abandon all attachments to success or failure. Don't wait for the success to be guaranteed. Move fast, act fast, let the results come as they may. So it's interesting because, you know, I like looking at all of these different spiritual concepts and then connecting it with business, because the truth is the same in all times, all eras. The real truth actually remains the same. There's another unpopular Gita called the Ashtravakra Gita. And in that, in the Ashtravakra Gita, there's also a quote which says, the person who sees both failure and success and illusion is the person that is free. And that's also crazy, because whatever the outcome is only going to be temporary. The only thing is how you move, how fast you move, how slow you move, how lazy you are. That's actually going to change everything. Even in Taoism, there is a quote that says, a good traveler has no fixed plans and is not in his intent is not at arriving. It's not about the perfect strategy. It's actually about being in the flow with the present and responding to life as it unfolds every second. If you heard the podcast about 3 weeks ago, you know what was unfolding in my life. Crazy things, ship gone missing, lost $500,000. Yeah, so life just turns around to be super crazy. But you gotta roll with it, and you have to roll with it fast. like I said, biohacking was built on the same principles as well. We launched products not with 100% of the answers, with 40% of the answers. We didn't know what was market TAM and SAM and SOM. We made partnerships so many times with our gut feelings. We made decisions. It's fine. We actually made decisions in the sauna and in the cold plunge more than we did at looking at spreadsheets. Some went well, some didn't went well, but we were so fast that we had the time to test, tweak it and repeat it. So it's not just your business life, but even in your personal life, your health, your relationships, waiting for a certainty is actually a trap. Sometimes you have to just say yes, test the vibe you're getting from the place and just make a leap. And if you fall, so what? That's also actually gathering data. It's like being a scientist. You just keep collecting data. Don't overthink. This is the advice I want to give everyone, especially the young people, because I used to overthink so much. Don't overthink your way out of action. Make a decision at 40%, then manage it through measurement. And remember, people who move fast aren't reckless. They're actually tuned in more. They trust themselves, they trust the universe, and they trust the clarity that comes after every action, not before the action. Because at the end of the day, guess what? The only wrong move is to not move at all. That brings me to our fifth lesson and our last lesson for the day, which I've been talking more about like life and philosophy. But this week I learned something. I knew about this, but I learned about something even this thing came up in a podcast that I want to share with you, which is the P300D wave. Okay. So the P300D is not a supplement, it's not a protocol, it's not even a red light therapy setting. A lot of people will, if I start saying about something, they'll probably think it's a frequency or a red light therapy thing. But anyway, that's not the point. It's basically, it's a wave. Think of it as your body's natural performance wave. You don't have to create it. It's already built in. And it's triggered by three things: by flow, by focus, or by intensity. And when you activate this, your body unlocks a next level of performance. It actually feels like being superhuman. You have razor sharp thinking. Your reaction times are faster. You have crazy clarity. You have calmness in your mind. And you have insane memory. But guess what? Most people are never going to tap into it. Why? Because they're never even told that it exists, okay? If we had to break it down, P300D is a brain signal. Brain signal meaning, think of it as a spike in the electrical activity that shows up when your brain recognizes something important, something novel, or something really intense. And this has been studied in neuroscience for so long. Where it gets exciting is that these deviations in the P300D is actually linked to decision-making, attention, and performance readiness. So you can actually shift your brain into a turbocharged mode and get like lots of cool cascade of performances, neurochemicals, even muscle priming. Our bodies are so fascinating. The more I learn about our bodies, the more I understand like what is our bodies capable of. Of course, all of our grandmas and great grandmothers told us like what the body is capable of and all the beautiful things. But like, you know, we usually go through this life and we're always focused on such a narrow thing. But inside our body, there is really, really magical happening. Our bodies are capable of producing 32 quadrillion chemical reactions per second. Yep, not trillion, quadrillion. 32 quadrillion every second. These are hormones, neurotransmitters, enzymes, electrolytes, our favorite mitochondria. So your body is even better than any machine you can imagine out there. But if you don't train it, if you don't activate it, guess what? You only operate at 10%, and that's your limit. Now, if you want to activate this P300D, three things, okay? You guys ready with the notes? The first thing is novelty. What is novelty? Doing something new, doing something risky, doing something unfamiliar, doing something exciting. Then is urgency, when your body senses that it has to act. The third one is actually flow state, or like deliberate attention. When you are fully locked in, your eyes are open, your brain is focused, you're, you know, present in the moment. Few examples would be everyone's favorite that everyone is scared about is public speaking. When you have a fight or a confrontation, when you are almost, you know, just right before an accident, when you experience things for the first time. I always remember this, my first time in Tomorrowland. It was so magical, and I was experiencing all of these waves. And then next year it was like, okay. And then the third year it was just average. But the first year I had the best time of my life in Tomorrowland. But anyway, when you stay in cold plunges also, when you're doing some breath work and some breath holds, when you're fasting, especially beyond your comfort level, and when you actually win or you lose a pitch that you're pitching a client, these moments are activation triggers that take your body into a higher state, which is also one of the things that increases is this P300D wave. So how do you do this often? I have a few things. I'll share it with you. This is what I'm trying as well. So if someone has already tried it, please let us know in the comments, or let me know. Send us a message. Send us an email. Send us, get in touch, or just share with the world. Even if you don't get in touch with us, it's fine. So one of the things is going into cold plunges. Now, cold plunges will actually help you become completely present in the moment. It activates your norepinephrine. It primes your nervous system. And especially if you do it before big decisions, it's amazing. Then is an ancient yogic technique where you're holding your breath as well as you're focusing your eye on a certain object. Now, this, both of this together actually enhances this neurological trigger systems that increase P300D. Even when you're going for a meeting or you want to pitch something, if you're a little bit fasted before that, then what happens is your hunger will actually increase the neurochemical sensitivity, especially dopamine, and that can trigger P300D. Time-restricted sprints, so like working under pressure, timer, or in a competition, that increases it. Even when you're silent, so if your morning starts silent, you have no phones, no distractions, no Instagram, no TikTok, no notifications, then your attention will sharpen and P300D increases. And also like mirroring conversations. Sometimes before I go on a stage to give a talk, or before I interview someone who is very important or very smart, I actually talk to myself, and that actually increases your intensity and clarity and also activates the P300D wave. So flow states is a very, very, very good example in that. And getting into flow states is one of the best things. You know, in Taoism, they say that flow happens not by forcing, but by removing what blocks that current situation. And, you know, even in martial arts, we are always taught that our body, or like the way we master our body before our mind, is a perfect example of like a full nervous system alignment. So when your body and mind are mastered, you're able to get into this states, which are amazing. So P300D, something really, really interesting for your nervous system. No stress, just easy thing. And why is it so difficult to get to is because imagine our lives. We always have, like right now, I'm standing in my office and I have this metro going behind me. I have these cars going behind me. I have this door which doesn't shut up. We have to repair it. It's always has some noises. But people have background noises. People have numbness. People have distractions. People are over-consuming content. There is zero novelty, zero demand. And that's why our brain is not becoming sharp enough. it never realizes it's really a genius. You don't go through intense situations, there is no signal. There is no signal, so there is no surge of activity. There is no surge of activity, so there is no real performance in your brain. Remember what I said. Your body is capable of doing 32 quadrillion chemical reactions every second. But you have to also give it a signal. So go out there, do something hard, get cold, get hot, stay still, do some breath work, increase the stakes of something, demand more presence, and the P300D, you'll be able to hack it. So that's what I have for you today. If this episode made you pause, made you think about your own pace, your own circle, your own mindset, then that was the whole point. Because we're not just here to survive the game, we're here to actually understand it, move it, and eventually transcend it. Here's your final reminder for today. You don't need more time, you need more signal. You don't need more people, you need deeper connection. You don't need perfect certainty. Just 40% is good and a little bit of courage. And if your body has been feeling like it's being performing at not at its 100%, maybe you aren't activating it enough. And if this helps you, please share it with someone who needs it. And as always, I'll be back next week with more lessons that I'll be getting. Next week, you'll have international lessons because I'm traveling to New York this weekend. And hopefully I have more lessons traveling the world that I can share with you. Until then, stay sharp, stay present. And remember, when you're in doubt, move fast, breathe deeply, and trust the universe, God, or your P300D. This is CJ signing out of the Shift with CJ podcast. I love you guys. Bye.
Your time and presence with us through this podcast is highly appreciated. If you want to learn more, then head over to our website, www.shiftwithcj.com.